This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
I'm not a golf fan at all. I hate the idea of golfing, but I know this sounds strange, but I love to watch people playing golf on television. I've always enjoyed that. In 1999, at the British Open, Max Lucado talks about an incident that happened that I wasn't familiar with because I didn't see it in 99. There was a French golfer by the name of Jean Vandeveld. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Jean Vandeveld, who was in the lead. It was obvious he was going to win this tournament. All he had to do on the last hole, which was a par four, he just had to score 6 strokes, and he won the tournament. Professional golfer, you tell him all you need is the 4 for the par, plus you've got 2 insurance strokes. That's pretty easy to do, you would think. But his caddy would say later that they were showing off, and Jean Vandeveld did some things to show off in different clubs he used, etc., etc. He ended up putting 1 ball in the water, 1 ball in a sand trap, and instead of getting a 6, he got a 7. He had to settle for a tie for second place. Instead of winning over $1 million, he had to settle for sharing the second prize money. So he took a lot less home with him back to France. Max Lucado, in commenting on this story about Jean Vandeveld, said there's some parallels in life, how we think we've got the answer to everything. You know, most men think they've got life figured out. Not every man does, but most men think, I'm in charge, thank you. Most women think they've got things together and we're in control of this thing we call life. And not only do we know what we should do, we know what you should do. We can tell you how you should live your life. And I'm convinced that one of the most spiritual moments in a man's life, a woman's life, is when they come to the place where I'm not only not sure how you should conduct your life, I'm not sure about my life. I need a shepherd. And not somebody on this earth called a shepherd, but I need the shepherd with a capital T and with a capital S. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is quoted as saying, I am the good shepherd. You might think when people heard that, they might have said, isn't that a lovely thought? What a great concept, and how neat this man Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Do you know that when people heard that, there were people that literally grit their teeth? They set their teeth on edge. Can you think of the last time you were so angry that you grit your teeth at somebody? Might have been this morning, I don't know. Might have been last week, but where you set your teeth were set on edge, you were so angry. And people were that angry when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And you say, why? Because they could remember Psalm 23 that says, the Lord is my shepherd. And so when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, please get this, he was claiming to be God. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he was saying, I am the shepherd of Psalm 23. You look at me, you're looking at God. It was a claim to deity. And that's why people literally grit their teeth when Jesus said those words. Today, I begin a new series from the book of Psalms. This title, Who's Your Shepherd, is not only the title for this message, it's going to be the title for the whole series. Based out of Psalm 23, the most well-known psalm, the most beloved psalm, the psalm that I read at every funeral, the psalm that I'm asked to read more at the hospital when someone's near death, more than any other psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Well, once again, a brand new series that we start today on Cross Hope from the book of Psalms. I hope it'll speak to you in a special way over the next few months. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
And you know the rest of it by heart. I found this about Psalm 23. Even pagans are familiar with Psalm 23. If there's one scripture that people who don't know anything about the Bible can quote, it's Psalm 23. They can say a couple of verses out of that psalm. So we begin a series not going through every psalm. Did you know there's 150 chapters in Psalms? If I preach through a chapter a week, we'd be here for 3 years preaching through this book. I'm not going to do that, but we're going to highlight for a few months some of the great psalms out of the book of Psalms. Who is your shepherd? Let's begin with Psalm 1. It's a great place to begin. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you why this psalm is so important to me personally. Some people would say, maybe you shouldn't share this, but I'm going to share it anyway. I'm going to try to disguise it a little. I have an extended family member. I'll just identify him that way. Not in my immediate family, but an extended family member who struggled tremendously with an addiction to alcohol. So much so that he lost his house, he lost his job, he lost his career. I mean, everything went down the tubes. He lost his car. He lost his family. And when he hit bottom, this extended family member of mine that I won't even name came to my dad and said, I need you to help me. I will do anything you tell me to do. I will meet with you. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. And this is interesting. It says something about my dad in that my dad said, we'll not only meet every Tuesday at a local restaurant, but part of the meeting will be this. I'm going to ask you to memorize a chapter of the Bible every week. And this extended family member looked at my dad and said, I can't even remember my Social Security number. Sometimes I can't even remember my address. I can't remember this. I can't remember my employee number. I can't remember a lot of things. And you're asking me to memorize a chapter of the Bible every week? And my dad said, yeah, that's how much I believe in. And he said, I want you to go to your 12-step program. I want you to go to your counseling, whatever you're going to. But weekly, this is what you're going to do as a part of our meeting on Tuesday afternoons. You're going to memorize a chapter of the Bible. And he said, here's your first assignment, Psalm 1. So every time I read this, I get choked up because this is what he came back the following Tuesday. And a guy who couldn't even remember his Social Security number from memory says this, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked will perish. This family member that I identified earlier was so encouraged by the fact that he memorized those six verses that he told my dad, he said, next week I'm going to memorize James, the first chapter, 27 verses. And I asked my dad, did he do it? He said, perfectly. The guy who couldn't remember his social, the guy that couldn't remember his address, who couldn't remember his phone number, was able to remember the Word of God. The guy who couldn't remember his social, the guy that couldn't remember his address, who couldn't remember his phone number, was able to remember the Word of God. If he could speak to you today, he would tell you that that memorization of the Word of God into his spirit, embedding it into his heart, was probably a big part of his recovery. And by the way, when the Bible says, your word I have hid in my heart, we don't use that word, but we do understand a term in our computer generation. It means to embed. We know a computer program can have something embedded in it. We know a reporter can be embedded with a military unit in Iraq or Afghanistan. We understand that terminology, and your word I embed in my heart. It's planted in us and a part of us. What I'd like to do is just talk about a few things, a verse by verse, if we could bring up verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Let's stop right there. Everybody in this room walks in the counsel of somebody. What does it mean to walk in the counsel? Well, you take your cues from someone. You take advice. You follow the lead of this person. It can be somebody famous in the media. Every year, I think it's Time Magazine, has an article called The 100 Most Influential People. These are people that people walk in the counsel of. Now, I'm not asking you to identify people in this picture, but I am asking you to do this. Who are the people whose counsel you seek in life? Who are the people in life that you seek what they want? And whatever he wants, I want that for my life. Whatever she thinks is important, that's what I want for my life. That's what it means to walk in the counsel of someone. And the psalm writer says, blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. What does the wicked mean? It means somebody who denies God and denies his word. That's what it means. Somebody who says, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in the word of God, and yet people will walk in the counsel of people like that all the time. The second phrase is to stand in the way of sinners. What does it mean to stand in the way of sinners? Well, how many of you have ever been a bridesmaid or a maid of honor, or you've been a groomsman or a best man at a wedding? Raise your hand. You've ever done that in your life? Okay, many of you have, if not most of you. What were you doing when you stood up at that wedding? When you stood with the couple, you were not just a witness to the wedding. That's what most people say. Well, you're just a witness. No, you are standing with them. You are affirming this marriage. You are showing your approval, and I'm standing with this couple in this wedding. And the psalm writer says, blessed is the man or woman who does not stand and affirms the way of sinners. What do you approve of in life? You're standing with that in life. What do you laugh at? That's what you stand with. What gets your attention? What catches your eye? That's what you stand with in life. Blessed not only is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, but the third one, they don't sit in the seat of mockers. That's talking about people who mock the Lord. You all know people in your family who mock the Lord. You know people at work who mock the Lord and mock the Bible. You know people you work with who mock Jesus Christ and take his name in vain. That's what it means to mock, to speak in vain of that. And that's what it means to sit with those who mock. What does that mean? Well, standing means to identify with, like at a wedding, but to sit means you hang out with people. That's what it means.
And we'll continue with this message tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
What does that mean? Well, standing means to identify with, like at a wedding, but to sit means you hang out with people. That's what it means. Come on in, have a seat. Somebody comes over to your house, most of the time you don't stand at the door for 10 minutes. Sometimes you do, but most of the time you say, well, come on in and have a seat. It means to fellowship with. It means to share with. So here's the question. Who is it you get your counsel with? Who is it you stand with to affirm? And who is it you hang with, you sit with? And the psalm writer says, don't. The man or woman who's blessed doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. He or she doesn't stand in the way of sinners, affirming that, and they don't sit or hang around in the seat of mockers. Let's bring up verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Couple of things there. You delight in that which is important to you. I mentioned this in the past series in Corinthians. Those of you that have grandchildren have pictures of grandchildren probably with you right now. Why do you have a picture of your grandchild? You delight in them. Tell me what you love, and I'll tell you what you delight in. Tell me what matters to you, and I'll tell you what you delight in. We always delight in that which is important to us. And so it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. We don't use that phrase, law of the Lord, but I'll tell you what we do use, phraseology-wise. We use the phrase, word of God. His or her delight is in the word of God, the Bible. And on that word, they meditate day and night. What does it mean to meditate? I love what Joyce Meyer says. Some of you listen to Joyce Meyer on television or the radio. And she said, people ask her all the time, what does it mean to meditate on the Word of God? And here's her answer. It's a great answer. She says, do you know how to worry? They say, oh yeah, I know how to worry. I do it all the time. Then you know how to meditate. If you know how to worry, if I know how to worry, then I know how to meditate. Meditate means to mull over, to repeat in your mind, and to have a conversation in your head. That's what meditation means. And somebody who meditates on the Word of God is not doing self-talk, but it's God talk. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. When's the last time, get this, that you've rehearsed scripture in your mind? And you know what else I'm going to suggest you do with this? This may surprise you. Psalm 1 is a good prayer for your husband, for you to pray for your husband or your wife. Lord, would you help my husband or wife not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Would you help my son, my daughter, not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Would you help them not to stand to affirm the way of sinners? Would you help them not to hang out, to sit in the seat of mockers? In verse 2, Lord, would you help them delight in your word? Let's bring up verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Well, there's some phrases again that we don't use. What does it mean that we become like a tree planted by streams of waters? Here's what it means. It's talking about stability. To be a tree that's planted by water means there's nourishment coming to that tree. There's food coming to that tree. And for you and for me to be like a tree that's planted by a stream of water means that we're close to the source. That's what it means.
Well, we're going to continue this thought line tomorrow on the last part of this message from Psalm 1, a new series called Who's Your Shepherd? Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Max Lucado talks about Psalm 23 in an interesting way. He says, you either have the Lord as your shepherd or you create your own shepherd. I like that. That's an interesting thought. People don't like that because it's so one way or the other, black and white. You know, it's either this way, the Lord's way, or not the Lord's way. But I believe that. And this is a passage that says it's one way or the other. Who is your shepherd? It's either the Lord or it's not the Lord. So he said some people write their own Psalm 23. Some of you have heard this before. You've read it, but I want you to listen to it. It's really interesting. Here's the Psalm 23 that a lot of people in our culture have today. I am my own shepherd. I am in constant need. I stumble from mall to mall and from shrink to shrink, seeking relief but never finding it. I creep through the valley of death and I fall apart. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines. I like that. I fear everything from pesticides to power lines. And I'm starting to act like my mother. That was funny, but nobody laughed, obviously. I'm starting to act like my mother. I go to weekly meetings at work and I'm surrounded by enemies. I go home and even my goldfish scowls at me. I anoint my head with extra strength Tylenol. My Jack Daniels runneth over. Surely misfortune and misery will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in self-doubt all my lonely life. Now, I know he wrote that tongue-in-cheek. I know he wrote that with a wink. But let me tell you this, the choice is yours today. Either you are your own shepherd, the system is your shepherd, some person, one of the most influential people in the culture is your shepherd, or the Lord is your shepherd. Decide. Decide today and during this series that the Lord God Almighty is going to be my shepherd. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of people who don't even acknowledge God. I'm not going to stand or affirm the way, the choice of sinners. And I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to hang around with those who mock Jesus Christ and who mock God's word and who mock God himself. But my delight is going to be in the Word of God. My delight is going to be His will for my life. Because let me tell you this, the will of God and the word of God, I finally came to the conclusion in recent years, that's the same thing. The word of God is the will of God, and the will of God is the word of God. The more you know of the word of God, the more you know of the will of God. The more you know of his word, the more you know of his will. I want to go back to the story I began with about the extended family member. To the best of my knowledge, from that moment when he started meeting with my dad, the day he died, some 10, 20 years later he died, to the best of my knowledge, he never went back to alcohol. Now, I'm not going to be naive enough to tell you that the reason that never happened was because he started memorizing scripture, but let me tell you this, it's a big part of it. You and I need the power of the Word of God in our lives. You need the power of Psalm 1 in your life. You need the power of Psalm 23 in your life. You need the power of Psalm 119 in your life. You can pick the psalm. You can pick the chapter of the Bible. But don't neglect the source of power in your life. I don't worship the Bible. I worship Christ. But let me tell you this. Jesus said his word will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But God's word lasts forever. That's why I'm following it. I want to follow something eternal, and hopefully you do too.
And our website is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday, or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.